Everyone standing on your feet all over the church. Hallelujah. There are three important things that I want to give you this morning. And it all has to do with the defense system around your joy. And so my job is never to entertain you. And so I don't want you to get caught or lost in the way in which I bring the word of God. I want you to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you, because it's that important. This song, this worship song, set the atmosphere and made it conducive for what God wants to say. I didn't know they were singing Grateful. And they didn't know that part of my message, one of the pillars of it, is gratitude. Gratitude. Yeah. So these three things I want to give you. You're going to need a personal firewall. You're going to need to junk-proof your mind. And the last thing, you're going to need to learn how to be thankful for everything. So I want to take you to 1 John, the first chapter. 1 John, the first chapter. I could have easily taken you to John 1. But I want to take you to 1 John. 1 John is the deja vu of John 1. Everybody know what deja vu is, right? I experienced this before at some time, somewhere. This is deja vu. First John is writing, listen to me carefully. He's writing, John is writing in First John. These are the John letters, if you will. He wrote three of them, First, Second, Third John. And his letters are to his church. John becomes a pastor. This is not John the Baptist who was the forerunner of Jesus Christ. No, this is John the son of Zebedee. Are you with me? Yeah. And he becomes a pastor. And he writes letters to his church. Yeah. John understands, because James and John, they were brothers. John understands this because they were two whose mom went and asked Jesus, hey, when you get your stuff, remember my boys. Let them rule with you. And Jesus had the response. He says, the greatest in the kingdom is those who serve. Oh, you don't hear me. John becomes a pastor, and he writes these letters, and in his opening to his church, he writes these words. The reason he's writing is because his church has become cynical. His church meets everything that God says with sarcasm. In other words, they're believers who stop believing. They're going to church, they're worshiping, they're coming, but there is no defense system around their joy. So salvation to them is work. Coming to church is work. Serving in the house of God is work. Oh, y'all ain't ready. I can tell you that right now. It's work. Being kind and being empathetic is work to them. And so everything they do is met with a cynicism and with derision. And so inside of the church, people are arguing and bickering and fighting over stuff that don't even matter. And they're missing the point. And so John writes this opening letter, and he makes his case in the first few verses as to why. And this is where I want to preach from. The reason I want to preach from this is because it echoes, it's a deja vu of John 1. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God. I've been preaching to you all month long about Emmanuel, God with us. The idea that he would be incarnate, that God will come in flesh, is a scandal. The way in which he came was scandalous. Impregnated a woman who was engaged. Oh, God. That's a scandal. Shonda Rhimes ain't got nothing on. Okay, yeah. That's a scandal. Why would God come in such a scandalous way? Oh, God. To have to go through all that they went through. To be sought after. Only to kill what's about to be birthed before it's even born. All that they had to endure. And John comes in and skips and forgoes the genealogy of Jesus Christ and gets right back to the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. And we beheld him as the only begotten Son of the Father. This is an echo of that scripture. And this is why I'm taking you here. The Bible says that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Yeah. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4 is where I want to go. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I want to read this from the Message Bible so that you can have the proper context of where I want to preach this from. The Bible says in the Message Bible, from the very first day we were there, taking it all in. We heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. Oh, this is going to be good. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you, in the most sober prose, yeah, that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it We heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, our motive for writing is simply this. Yeah. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. I want to preach to you from this text. My message title is Covenant Joy, but my subtitle is Don't Miss the Experience. Spirit of the Living God, you brought us to this place, to this moment, to hear from you, to receive a word from you. God, we need to hear from you. Without hearing a word from you, we cannot live. Speak to us. Speak to us by your Spirit. Anoint us to be able to hear what you want to say. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive what you want to say. Anoint this vessel of clay that stands before these people and use me as a willing, humble vessel to deliver what you want to say. Do all of this by your power and by your Spirit. For without it, none of this matters. I stand in the spiritual authority that you've given me. It's the shepherd of this house. And I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I declare that we will not miss the experience. Regardless of how hard the enemy fights us, regardless of how many battles we wage inside of our minds, we will not miss the experience. So Lord, have your way. Do what you want to do. This is your house. We are your people. And we give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In Jesus' name, you agree. Shout amen. Amen. Come on, turn to your neighbor. Smile as bright as you can. Show them everything God has blessed you with, including gold teeth or whatever you got in your mouth. And let them know, I got covenant joy. I got covenant joy. I got covenant joy. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I wanted to bring this to you, and I wanted to bring it to you in a real way. And I want you to understand that what I'm talking about and the message to which John is speaking to us in is telling us that we have to learn how to defend our joy, that we have to learn how to get to a place where we realize that we are in covenant with God, that covenant is not made between God and us, but is made between God and himself. It is a covenant that is built on better promises because it is built on a better relationship. In other words, the covenant that God has given us is not if you hold up your end of the bargain, I'll hold up my end of the bargain. The covenant is so deep, is so thick that he cut covenant with himself, and he gave himself as a sacrifice for everybody, that whosoever would believe in him should have everlasting life and should not perish. That's a very powerful covenant. It's a covenant that's built on better promises because we have a high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, the covenant works because God knows exactly what we're dealing with, exactly what we're going through, exactly where we are, and exactly how we feel. It is God who gave us those feelings and those emotions for a reason and for a purpose, but it is us who is in the middle of circumstance or situation that sometimes doesn't know how to protect those emotions. And those emotions sometimes create a cynicism and create a sarcastic attitude towards the things of God. In other words, you approach God as blasé, as it doesn't matter. As going to church is just another thing to check off of your to-do list because the situation and circumstance is so hard and so heavy that you start looking at God like, well, it really doesn't matter how much I pray, how much I praise, how much I give, how much I sow, because my circumstance is seemingly not changing. Can I suggest to you that it's the way that you're looking at your circumstance that is causing you to feel so cynical? Can I suggest to you the way that your situation is structured is making you feel like that God is not in the middle of it with you, and that you're not a covenant believer, and that this thing is going to overcome you in such a way that you're never going to get out of it, or that it's never going to change. If that was the case, the situation and the circumstance would have already taken you out of here, would have already defeated you, and you would not be sitting where you are sitting today. It is amazing to me that the littlest things that we have in our lives, to get up every morning, to be able to put your clothes on, to be able to brush your teeth, to be able to go to the fridge and open it up and have something on the inside of it, to be able to go to your closet and say, what will I wear today? To be able to leave this place and go somewhere that's warm, that's comfortable, where there's a blanket. My God, the littlest thing, the smallest thing that we experience every day somehow is overcome by the flash circumstances that appear in our life that are only temporary. But every day you're still waking up with breath in your body and blood running through your veins. What I'm trying to say to you is, whatever you're facing at the moment that seems difficult, it's only temporary. The fact that you are still alive and breathing should be enough information to you that tomorrow can bring a better day. Please touch your neighbor and say, don't sit on pastor this morning. You got to start getting thankful and grateful for the little things in your life. If God never does anything else, the fact that he saved me is enough information for me to give him glory and to give him praise. I'm just thankful that I'm not what I used to be. I told you, I ain't come to preach to everybody. I came to preach to some specific folk. I'm just grateful that I'm not what I used to be. Let me step into this prophetic vein and get out of the intro real quick. Let me help you out. The real power in your journey is not what you're running to, it's what you're running from. You don't hear what I'm saying. And I mean not running from some enemy or something attacking you. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about running from what you used to be. Oh, I lost half the room right there. See, the reason why God can use you mightily is because of what you used to be. And because what you used to be scares you so much, Lord have mercy, that you ain't got no other choice but to keep moving forward and seeking God and saying, I ain't never going back to. All right, let me backtrack, because I lost half the church. To have covenant joy, you have to have the guts to have a covenant conversation. And a covenant conversation is does not pull any punches. It doesn't pull any punches because it deals with your fear. It comes right down to what you are afraid of. It taps deep into the heart of your psyche, of how you think and how you act. When God wants to have a covenant conversation with you, it's because you've gotten to the place of a covenant thought. You've gotten to the place where you realize that all the stuff that you have experienced in life and the circumstances that you faced in life was not meant to harm you. It was meant to help you. All of the obstacles, all of the difficulties set in your path were the path itself. There was not some other way. The obstacle was the way. You don't hear what I'm saying. There wasn't some other endeavor. No. No, the fire and the storm and the desert and all that stuff was the way that God wanted to take you to that, so that you can learn some lessons, so that you can distill some experiences about the goodness of God. Touch your neighbor and say, your past is a powerful tool if you learn how to wield it. I wish I had somebody in here. Your past is a powerful tool if you learn how to wield it. If you learn how to look back, then you can move forward. The reason why you have to learn how to look back is that you don't stay back. You just learn how to reflect on what was behind you. Oh, God, I can forget those things that are behind me, but I can remember the experiences that I have. I can remember the experiences of what happened. Paul said it this way. He said it this way. Not as though I have obtained. I'm trying to go after something that has come after me. And not as though I have obtained it or grabbed it, but I'm apprehending that which apprehended me. I'm pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling because this one thing that I do, I forget those things which are behind me. So when I move forward, I had to figure out what's coming and what's staying behind. And the only way to do that is to learn how to distill the lessons from my past. I've been through too much. I've come through too much. I don't have time. I want to preach to folk who want to hear this. I've been through too much, and I've come through too much for me to think that God is not going to get me to where he said I'm supposed to be. When did I become so cynical that I stopped believing in the goodness of God? When did I become so sarcastic that my praise is just this ho-hum praise and that my thinking is just I'm going to church because I know that's what I'm supposed to do and then God should just be grateful that I'm here? Let me clue you in on a few things. God is going to be God whether you feel like he's God or not. God is going to be God whether you praise him or not. God is going to be God whether you say amen to what I'm preaching or not. Your attitude does not change God, but your attitude changes your joy. God, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting in here. Your attitude changes your ability to have joy. Joy is not happiness. Stay with me. And the reason why you don't understand the covenant joy is because you're thinking I'm talking about covenant happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of something taking place. You're happy when something happens. That means something has to go down in order for you to feel good about it. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. The reason there is joy is because it came from the seed of the Spirit, which actually happens to be my strength. The joy of the Lord is what affects my attitude, because if he's still happy, if he's still glory, if he's still laughing and singing over my life, then that means that there must be something that's coming. Slap your neighbor high five and say, don't miss the experience. 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 The reason why we miss the experience is because of our attitude. The reason we miss the experience is because we think something has to happen in order for us to cultivate joy. No, joy can be cultivated through our thinking and through our attitude and through our mindset. That's how joy gets cultivated. It is already there. It is already a part of the fruit of the Spirit. There's love, there's joy, there's peace, there's goodness, there's gentleness, there's faith, there's faith. There's something called long suffering. There are nine fruits of the Spirit. It is not the same of the nine gifts of the Spirit, but nine fruits of the Spirit, which can only be born by the Spirit of God. So joy can only come from a spiritual place. Y'all not in here with me. Joy cannot come from the natural. It has to come from the supernatural. Oh God, who am I talking to? It cannot come from something happening, from some moment. It can only come from a spiritual place. So when I say don't miss the experience, I'm saying don't miss the experience of the supernatural, not of the experience of the natural. Jesus was prophesied about all throughout Scripture. He says, "Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." From Genesis to Revelation, it talks about Jesus Christ all throughout Scripture. Don't have time to go there with you. But you have to understand that God promises Eve in the Garden of Eden that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent. Uh-huh. God tells Abraham, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to bless those that bless you, curse those that curse you. Uh-huh. And all of this time has to transpire. The prophets come and Isaiah says, unto us a child is born and a son is given and a government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Uh-huh. All this stuff taking place, prophesying about what is to come, about what's going to happen next. And then all of a sudden, after years and years and years of prophetic word and declaration, here comes this moment. Here comes this moment in time, in real time. But people had to work and move based upon the spiritual experience that God was giving them, that something was coming. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. They had to get up. Abraham had to get up and look for a city whose builder and maker was the Lord, because he believed something was coming. Even after he had his son Isaac, he still believed something else is coming and is on the way, because God said, I will be the father of many nations. You don't hear what I'm saying. Every day he got up, he was believing that something was coming, that there was more to what he was experiencing in real time, that something was coming from the invisible realm and to the invisible realm. I dare you to touch three people and say, something is about to show up in your life, and you got to get your mind and your heart ready for what's about to show up and come next. And if you meet it with cynicism and sarcasm, you're going to miss the experience. Let me get to where I need to go. Let me get to where I need to go. All throughout scripture, we see that people had to look to something that's coming. Then all of a sudden, boom, something shows up. And Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus came in the fullness of time. In other words, God set his watch. He set his clock that something was coming. And all of a sudden, something was here. Out of nowhere, here it comes, but it comes in a scandalous way. It didn't come the way that we thought it would come. It didn't come with the angels coming down in the clouds and this great big celebration. It came in a dirty place, in a manger, in a barn, in a cave. I wish I had somebody. That's where it was birthed, but it was raised in the house so that it can be cultivated and developed so that the baby can start moving and kicking and growing and working and operating. And then all of a sudden, Jesus was here just like that. That's why I love John's gospel, because it doesn't bore us with all of the genealogy of what Jesus came through. It's a flashback so that we can move forward. In the beginning was the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and we beheld him as the only begotten Son of the Father. In other words, what God said became flesh. What was immaterial became material. What God spoke years and years ago became something real. I'm trying to prophesy to you, and you're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm telling you what God has been speaking to you. It's about to become real, real. You're going to see it with your eyes, and you're going to hold it with your hand. And I'm losing my voice, so I can't do it the way I want to do it. And I can feel my fight. My fight's not with you. My fight is spiritual. You don't need to turn me up. What I'm trying to tell you is that what God has been saying to you, you are about to see tangibly in real time. And if you meet it with sarcasm and with cynicism, you're going to miss that experience. So, Pastor, how do I not miss the experience? Look at your neighbor and say, you got to defend your heart. You got to defend your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got to guard my heart. I got to guard my heart. In 2019, I got to keep my heart guarded, because I can't have all the negativity in my personal space, and I can't have you projecting your problems on me, and I can't have you telling me what I can't do and what God can't do in my mind. I slap your neighbor and say, you got to protect your heart. You got to protect your heart. Give me some water. You got to protect your heart. You got to protect your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. That's where your focus has got to be. You got to protect your heart. Pastor, why do I have to protect my heart? Because that's where all of it's going to happen. Your heart determines the course of your life. And so guarding your heart is like protecting the software of your mind. Oh, God, who am I talking to up in here? Guarding your heart is like protecting the software of your mind. You got to protect the software of your mind. You can't allow, watch me now, you can't allow, listen to me carefully, because I want you to hear me clearly. You can't allow negative ideas, not negative words. Oh, God, Lord have mercy. Negative idea. You can speak all the negative words you want to. The reason why you can speak the negative words you want to is because I'm not listening to you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. My attention is on the word of God, and I have low attention span for negative talk. I'm preaching way better than y'all shout. So as soon as you start going negative, I tune you out. I don't have to listen to your negative speech, nor do I have to listen to your criticism, because your one bad review is not going to stop the revelation that God has given me on what I'm supposed to be doing. I can't allow a negative idea, not a negative language, but a negative idea will corrupt your potential for joy. This is why John comes in and says, the reason I'm writing to you is based on the fact that I've seen it. I heard it, I saw it, I touched it. Okay. I'm writing to you from experience. Not from hope. I ain't wishing it. I'm telling you it already happened. So the reason why I don't want your negative idea is because it's going to corrupt my potential for joy, because what it's going to do is make me forget what already happened. So I'll start living like God hasn't already. I don't have the energy. That God hasn't already done some stuff for me. Slap three people high five and say, he done already did it. Don't be so busy looking forward that you forget the power to look back over your life and be thankful for what God has already. Oh, I dare you touch three people and say, he done already did it. Oh, I wish you understood the power of what I'm talking about. Look at him again and say, he already did it. He already did it. Now, let me give you the second part of that. Because if he did that, what makes you think he ain't got the power to do? Now, touch somebody again and say, he already did it. He did that and he already. He already did it. He already did it. He already did it. So what I have to do is to avoid the negative idea is that I have to improve the quality of my thinking. Look at your neighbor and say, you have to learn how to reverse engineer your joy. Come on here. The reason why I have to reverse engineer joy is because joy is the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, Lord have mercy. And if I'm not connected to the vine, I can't experience the fruit. If I abide in him and his word abide in me, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, the Bible says in John 15, if my word abides in you, you can ask for whatever you will. That's what the Bible says. He says, but the problem with abiding in the vine or staying connected to the vine is the cuts you have to experience. So the reason why we miss the bigger experience is because we can't handle the cuts. The cuts are there to cultivate your mind so that you have a better quality of thinking. You don't need those leaves. Oh God, who am I talking to? That's why he cut it off you. Whatever's been cut off your life, you didn't need it in the first place. Whoever's been cut out of your life, you didn't need them either. I wish I had some folk to talk to.
Excuse me while I do this. Okay. Are you getting what I'm saying? You, the quality of your thinking, that's where reverse engineering your joy comes in. The quality of that. Why do I have to reverse engineer? Because you have so many toxic thoughts in your mind that are based on what you are experiencing at the moment. So you have to reverse engineer the thought by looking back over your experiences and tell yourself what your experience at the moment does not compare to what you can experience in the future, because what you're going through at the present moment is a small thing. In other words, the glory, the suffering that you face right now cannot be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in you as an outcome of the cut. I wish I had somebody here. Because God can't cut you without compensating you. So the end of your story is not going to end in commendation. It's going to end in compensation. God is not just going to say, well done. He's going to compensate you for all the hell that you had to go through and endure. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I've been cut. But I'm about to be compensated. I'm going to get through this message one way or the other. I came to talk to some people who've been cut. And it wasn't the devil that cut you. It was God. And you've been talking to God like, why God? Why am I dealing with it? God is saying to you, you're about to be compensated for the cut. I don't need no help. If the devil want to fight, we're going to fight. Devil, I'll fight you straight up right now. I don't need no organ. I don't need your hand clap. I don't need your shout. I'll fight you straight up face to face. All I know is my God is about to compensate me. That's all I know. That's all I know. This is not going to end in just you being commendated. As somebody patting you on the back, going, oh, you went through, good job. God never takes you through without adding value to your testimony. He never takes you through a cut or a circumstance where he does not compensate you. For the Bible says that nobody has given up houses or lands or any property or anything without being compensated 100-fold in this lifetime with persecution. God, I'm preaching to somebody up in here. God, touch your name and say, it's coming 100-fold in this lifetime. Not in the good hereafter. Not when I'm dead and gone. While I'm alive, I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm going to see it. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to taste it. I'm going to touch it. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So I got to guard my heart. Let me give you this story. When I'm guarding my heart, I have to understand that thoughts are causes. Thoughts are causes. Circumstances are effects. Circumstances are not causes. I feel this way cause I've been through thus and so. I wish I had somebody in here. I'm sitting on Pastor cause. He taking too long. I don't understand the message cause. Circumstances are not causes. Thoughts are causes. The cause is your thought. about the circumstance. The circumstance is just an effect. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all should. Thoughts are causes and circumstances are effects. In other words, we have it backwards. We believe that circumstances cause our thoughts. Circumstances never cause your thoughts. No. Circumstances are just effects. No, you're dissatisfied with your conditions and your life and what you're going through and what you're seeing and what you're experiencing, and your thinking is being shaped by what you're experiencing. But your thinking should not be shaped by what you're experiencing. Your thinking should be shaped by who you are. For as a man thinketh in his heart, God, I'm preaching my own shout, so is he. Because I know who I am. The circumstance does not matter. I won't let hell or high water stop me from thinking that I'm a child of the living God. It's too much. In other words, I have to stop letting my life experiences condition my thoughts. And I have to start conditioning my thoughts to my life experiences. So when the circumstance is adverse, it's going to be my thought process that gets me through it. I'll prove it to you. Job got this right. His thoughts were his causes. His circumstances were his effects. Job said, he knoweth the way that I take, and when I am tried, I shall come forth like gold. Slap your neighbor and say, that's a conditioned thought. That's a conditioned thought. Though he slay me, I don't have no church. Yet shall I trust him. Stop letting life circumstances tell you what to think and start thinking your way through life circumstances. Yeah, it's rough. But I know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are calling to his purpose. Yeah, I don't like how it looks, but I know the Lord is good and his mercy endures. So
when I get to this place, and when I get to this place of setting up my personal firewall, I set up my personal firewall with my thoughts. Look at your name and say, your thoughts are your personal firewall. Now that I have my firewall set up, I gotta jump-proof my mind. My firewall is ready, so I have to have a strategy for a healthy mindset. Oh God, I'm preaching way better than y'all shouting. Slap your name and say, if you're gonna make it in 2019, you better have a strategy, come on here, for a healthy mindset. Listen, I love y'all, but your attention span is so low right now, you can hardly say all the stuff I just said. Come on here, slap your neighbor a high five real quick and say, if you're gonna make it in 2019, you gotta have a strategy for a healthy mindset. The moment junk starts entering into your mind, you gotta have a strategy to deal with all of that junk. I gotta have a strategy to deal with all that junk. And my strategy to deal with junk is scripture. Yeah. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, scripture is my strategy. I wish I had somebody in here. I gotta think on those things that are true, that are just, that are praiseworthy. I can't be thinking about, I gotta have a Philippians 4:8 strategy. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, in prayer. I ain't got no church. With thanksgiving, present my request to God. Then the peace of God. Slap your neighbor high five and say, scripture is my strategy for a healthy mind. Blessed is the man that meditates on the word day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. His leaf will not wither, and whatever he or she does shall prosper. Oh, slap your name. Say, scripture's my strategy. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding.
and all your ways acknowledge him, and he'll make your path. I ain't got to go home and pray about it. Scripture is my strategy. I'm going to beat my junk-proof mind with the word of God. Slap your neighbor and say, Scripture is my strategy. When Scripture is my strategy, stay with me. When scripture is my strategy, I can use the power of discernment. SQ beats IQ any day. Okay. IQ is the measurement of how intelligent you are. SQ is the measurement of your spiritual intelligence. I might not be as book smart, but I know something about God. I got spiritual. When you're spiritually intelligent, you don't hear what I'm saying. You'll save a lot of energy and time with folk and feet and people and issues and circumstances, God, because you'll be able to test the spirit to see if they are. Y'all are missing what I'm saying. I'm closing. I have to build a firewall for my heart, which begins with my thoughts. Then once I got the firewall up with my thoughts, then I have to junk-proof my mind so that no old toxic thoughts or new negative ideas come into my mind. And the way that I do that is with Scripture. Scripture makes me spiritually intelligent. I'm closing. I mean, the devil fought me hard today. I'm closing. Scripture makes me spiritually intelligent. And now here's where I really want to go. Now that I got my spiritual intelligence, now that my mind is junk-proof, the only way to junk-proof my mind is to keep Scripture in my heart. If you don't keep Scripture in your heart, your mind's going to be full of junk. Soon as junk enters into my mind, I say, oh, it's time to read the Bible. Or I got to hear the word. Or I got to get into some spiritual space. I'm sorry. It's very practical. I'm sorry. I want you to have these tools going into 2019. Here's my last one. Fireproof. I gave you two. Here's the last one. Fireproof. You got to get to put a firewall up over your mind. You got to junk-proof your mind. Here's the last one. You got to be grateful for everything. No. Look at your neighbor and say, do you know how to be grateful for everything? When I say grateful for everything, I don't know if you know what I mean. Everything means everything. The reason why John writes this letter to his church is because of something called Gnosticism. I don't want to get into it all deep, but there was an ideology of Gnosticism. In other words, it wasn't real. Jesus coming in the flesh wasn't real. It didn't really happen. And so they were convincing people in the church that Jesus coming in flesh didn't really happen. That it really wasn't God in the flesh. It was just some prophet, some guy, some man, that it really didn't happen. And so the whole church was folding and collapsing. And as a pastor, John's heart was pricked because he was saying, wait a second, I know what happened. I was there. I saw it with my eyes. I touched it with my hands. I experienced it. And that's why I'm writing to you. And the reason I'm writing to you is so that you can have that same experience. I don't want you as a pastor to miss out on experience. And I step into the same frame of mind as John today prophetically and say to some of you, you're going to miss this opportunity because you're missing me right now. Right now, your level of attention is on what you got to do next. What needs to happen next, and you're missing God speaking a scripture, a word into your heart to let you know something is coming that's so powerful, that's so great, that he wants you to experience, that whatever joy you've experienced up to this moment is going to be doubled by the joy that you experience when it happens. Slap your neighbor high five and say, get ready for double joy. Get ready for double joy. You're going to be happy over what happened, but you're even going to have more joy over what's coming next. Oh God, slap your neighbor and say, it's going to be joy, unspeakable joy. I can't articulate it. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how it happened. All I know is that it happened. Everyone standing on your feet all over the church. I'm done. I can give you this last point standing up. Come on. I'm done. When I say grateful for everything, I mean everything. I'm grateful that God was late. Don't clap if you don't get it. Please don't. You don't need to do that for me. God being late helped me to understand what I was not ready for. And if there's one thing I learned to be grateful for this year, was that God was late. I preached a whole message on it this year. God, thank you for being late. Because in life, you start looking back over your life as you get older, saying, I should be here at this time, I should have been there. And you start having these regrets. And you don't understand that regrets are fuel. That's a whole nother message. Every discrepancy in your life is fuel. It's an energy source. It's a power source. You look at it as disappointment. I see it as fuel. Stop asking myself, why has this happened to me? And I start asking, what else could this mean? If I know God is good, oh, come on, somebody talk to me. If that's what I know, if I've seen it, if I've heard it, if I've touched it, and that's the level of my confidence, why am I so cynical? Why do I meet God with such sarcasm? Why do I approach his day, his house, with such apathy? Why do I keep being mad with him? Oh, it's quiet. I know I'm preaching right now. Why do I keep going back and forth with God? One day I trust you, next day I don't. One day I want you on. Well, he's been so consistent. Is it because of what I see in other people? Because that could be the only reason, because I don't see it in God. That tells me that I'm letting people cause me to miss the experience. Oh, man, y'all are here. I know what I'm talking about right here. For years, I let people cause me to miss the experience. I'm going to just tell on myself since I can't get no help in here. I let what I saw in my contemporaries what I saw in the landscape of the body of Christ caused me to hide and not experience everything that God had for me to experience. And I looked up and said, well, God, I should be here by now. And I, why are we here? And God, why? You become real cynical. See, a cynic is not a quitter. A cynic shows up to criticize. So you don't quit, you just keep coming. But you come as a critic. not as a partaker. Oh God, I'm preaching. So everything you experienced with God, you got your little pen and pad out. Well, that wasn't. I give that 2 stars. Oh God, I'm preaching better. Y'all shout. I give that. And you start showing up to service and you just critique God. You know you're there when you start critiquing them, praising. Why they sing that song? When you start noticing the people more than you notice the presence. Oh, y'all don't want to talk about it. I'm just trying to get your mind right for 2019. Take your mind off of people. John said, I saw him. I touched, I experienced him in real time. And I want you to have the same fellowship. It's a covenant joy. And it's double joy. That's what God is saying to you. He doesn't want you to miss the experience. 2019 is going to be an experience, man. It's going to be an experience that God doesn't want you to miss. But you have to bring your whole heart and your whole mind. And you should love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. You got to bring all of you to it. And to bring all of you to it, you have to learn how to put a defense system around your joy. Not to be guarded. It's not what I'm talking about. Because you don't need to be guarded when you have discernment. I don't need to guard myself from you. I see you coming from a mile away. But that's spiritual intelligence. Do you hear what I'm saying? And God is trying to tell this church, there's such an experience coming. He doesn't want you to miss it. Get your focus off of the wrong thing. Put your focus on him. He has already given you enough experiences for you to have faith with what's coming next. You've already experienced enough of him. You've already seen how good he has been. So you have to learn how to be grateful for everything. I'm glad I went through it. I'm glad for every circumstance, every valley, every hill, every storm, every fire I've been through. Because what it all taught me is that God will never leave me nor forsake me. Oh. Oh, man. So, John writes that your joy may be full. Joy is fruit. God, you don't hear it. And some of you are running low on the fruit of joy. Jesus coming in the flesh was joy to the world. The Lord has come. God wants you to have joy about the outcomes, prospects of your future. He wants you to greet 2019 with covenant joy. Put a defense system around that joy. Don't let nothing get to it. Not your thoughts, not anybody else's negative ideas, not a circumstance, not a trial. Nothing can get in and penetrate that defense system of joy, because I'm grateful for everything. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. I have scripture to junk-proof my mind so that when my mind starts going crazy, I go to the Word of God. I can't just... Don't just read it, speak it. Literally, out loud, I don't care. You gotta go in the bathroom at work. The Lord is my light and my salvation. I'm dead, sir. The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm serious. Don't let anything into that joy space. Keep that space sacred this year. This is what's going to wake you up in the morning. This is what's going to get you to that next opportunity. Do you hear what I'm saying? This, when you don't want to meet with that person and the Lord's like, no, you got to go, and you don't feel like it because you're in the middle of a circumstance. You don't know, and you don't trust nobody. You don't want to. No. If you keep that joy space, you keep that space protected, you're going to hear it. You're going to see it. You're going to touch it. You're going to fellowship with it. It's going to be real to you. All the stuff you want to accomplish. All the things God put in your heart. Everything He set in motion. You're going to see it in real time. Come on, grab that hand next to you. Let's close this thing in prayer. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful for everything. He is a keeper. He is a way maker. He is a provider. That's who He is. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. We're so grateful. Everyone in this room, everyone watching online, meet 2019. With covenant joy in your heart. God has already done it. And He'll do it again. He'll do it again. Get your focus on Him. On Him. Not on people. Not on other people's attitudes. On Him. That should be your only priority. God, what's on your heart? God, what do I do next? Keep Him the center focus of it all. In 2019, you'll birth some wonderful stuff. 2019, some stuff is going to move. In 2019, some things are going to expand. In 2019, you can't be pregnant without expanding. Now, I want to pray for you as you got that hand. I want to pray. And listen, all my prayer warriors, all my elders, all my ministers, I need your strength right now. Because somebody is in this room dealing with toxic thoughts and negative thoughts and negative ideas that invaded their heart space. And that's all they think about is negative outcomes. Let's break that thing in the spirit right now. For those in this room, for those watching us online that's battling those toxic thoughts, those negative things, we say scripture is our strategy. We have the power to to capture those thoughts and to pull down everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We know God is good. We know God is a way maker. We know God is a healer. We know God is a keeper. We know God is a provider. We know God is good. We know that he has our best interest at heart. We know that he rebukes the devourer for our sake. We know that you cannot curse what God has already blessed. We know that no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. These are the things that we know. So we take what we know about who he is. And we say nothing else can be further from the truth. We already know he's good. We already know he's sovereign. So we thank you, God, for everything. The highs and the lows, the ups and the downs, the good and the bad. We thank you for it because we know it's teaching us something. Father, I speak peace over every heart and mind in this room, over every person watching, the peace of God that transcends all understanding, and that guard their heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I thank you, God, for double joy. Joy unspeakable. Joy like a river flowing from their hearts and minds right now. Joy that they cannot explain because nothing has really happened. It's just that their mind shifted in this very moment. Their heart. And the burden of their heart has been alleviated. Take out of them the heart of stone and put into them the heart of flesh. Do a spiritual transplant right now in the name of Jesus. And when they get their new heart, let them get new habits and new taste buds and new sensory perception. Father, do it by the Spirit. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, let that hand go. Give God praise for what he's doing in somebody's life. Lift those hands all over the church. Receive the blessing of the Lord. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you. May God give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with his shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now until eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Come on, hug two or three people. Let them know you got covenant joy.